The Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by her continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. My fellow cat people at? Any? Oh, thank you. On Thursday at noon, there was like one person, and I thought, what is the world coming to? I have two cats. Ellie's one of them, and she's the more standoffish one, so she doesn't get as much time in my sermons. But she's wonderful, and I think she has a backstory, because she's not as trusting as the other one. But she's probably the more liturgical of the two. And what I mean by that is, usually every single morning when my alarm goes off, she's right there going, tap, 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 tap. And if I hit the snooze at all, it'll be tap, tap, meow, tap, tap, meow, meow, tap, tap, tap. All right, fine. And if I hit the snooze a third time on rare occasion, she'll start to yowl. Because, you know, it's breakfast time, and this is just getting out of hand. I love Ellie, but sometimes I feel like that unjust judge who neither fears God nor has respect for felines, and I think to myself, I will grant her breakfast so she may not wear me out by her continual coming. If you have a pet, you can relate, perhaps, to that kind of persistence. The idea that you're not going to stop until you get what you want or what you need because the fire in your belly is so strong and you just know that it's time to eat. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. Tap, 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 tap. Jesus encourages the disciples and encourages us to consider the role of persistence in our life of faith, but more specifically, persistence in prayer. Crying out to God day and night. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones? Jacob was returning home after having fled many years prior because of a conflict with his brother Esau. And it was more than a conflict because Jacob had stolen his brother's birthright and his father's blessing. And now he prepares to come face to face with Esau for the first time since he had injured him. And he finds himself alone. And while he is there, while he is alone, a man wrestles with him until daybreak. During the fight, Jacob is struck in his hip and still with his hip out of joint. He never gives up. And he fights through the night. Some biblical scholars might suggest that this man was a demon because, of course, his fear is of daybreak. Others would say that he's an angel or a man of God, some divine presence. Just who this man is, that he's his wrestling partner, is not clear. But one thing is that on the way to meet his brother, with whom he wants to please, he has to deal with both himself and with God in a fight. And in the context of that fight, in the first of three interchanges, the man says to Jacob, "Let me go, for day is breaking." And Jacob quite boldly says, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Sometimes I think that might be the most profound prayer. I will not let you go, Lord, until you bless me. I will not let this go. I will not give up until the blessing comes. It doesn't say this anywhere in the text, but sometimes I imagine that from the struggle, Jacob is changed forever and left to limp the rest of his life as a sign that he has striven with God. Certainly his name changes, Israel, meaning I have striven with God and prevailed. And Jesus is teaching us to pray always and to never lose heart, to cry out in faith and to be persistent. So we have, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? The truth is, sometimes it seems like God is delaying long. Sometimes the fight gets tiring, and it seems like the sun will not rise anytime soon, and the judge will not listen to our plea, and God's help is long delayed. And when we are tired, the fight can get hard. And when the blessing is veiled, Jesus teaches again today to never give up. When I think about the parable of the persistent widow and about praying always and not losing heart, one of the people that comes to mind is Renee. Renee's husband was my friend at both Luther College and at Warburg Seminary, and he died in the earthquake that destroyed Haiti in January of 2010, along with hundreds of thousands of other people. My friend's name was Ben. Ben and Renee and Ben's cousin Jonathan went to Haiti, and they went to teach in the new Lutheran church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Haiti. And one day they were just in the middle of a conversation that they were having in the orphanage for boys where they were staying, and the earth began to shake. And Renee and Jonathan survived, and Ben did not. Renee and Jonathan returned to seminary that spring, which must have been incredibly difficult. And it was at Ben's memorial when I first learned the song, Never Give Up, Never Give Up, Oh, Never Give Up. Never give up, never, 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 oh, never, never give up. And we sung that song with Renee and Jonathan through the end of that semester, where by the grace of God, they finished their MDivs at a time of great grief and confusion. And they persisted in finishing through, and they were both ordained and served in North Dakota. Renee served at a mission that was essentially a prison for young girls. And Jonathan served in a couple of different contexts. And now they've recently moved to South Dakota, where Renee was just appointed and called as the director of evangelical mission. Following Ben's death, Renee was interviewed by many sources, but one of them was Minnesota Public Radio. And she was also interviewed for a blog called Living Lutheran, which is a video blog of the ELCA. And in that interview, which is called The Resurrected Life, Renee reflects on persistence and the resurrection. And she says, the resurrection and the promises God offers through the resurrection are sustaining each and every day, even on the difficult days, which there are many. Sometimes the resurrection is a smile. Sometimes it's an embrace. Sometimes it's blaring music and rolling the windows down in the car, even in the middle of winter, and cranking the heat. No matter what happens to us in life, God always has the power to transform it and make it new. And for me, the greatest experience of resurrection hope has been through other people. I found such life in the people of God and serving them. Serving has pulled me out of myself. So often in suffering, we want to turn inward, and certainly there is a time for that. But it becomes dangerous if that's where we stay. So gradually, over time, God and other people turn us out, and that's when incredible, new, and surprising life comes. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and to never lose heart. Prayer is this resource that nourished my friends in those days when they weren't sure how to escape a horrible situation. and prayer has sustained them every day since. It's a resource that God gives you to share your desires and your longings, the things that are happening in your heart that you aren't quite sure how to put into words, even through a sigh. Prayer is, in the simplest terms, talking and listening for God. Sometimes this prayer happens with others. It certainly happens here when we gather around the sacraments. But also it happens when we get behind the wheel of a car or when our head hits the pillow at night. Prayer is not like the list that children make for Santa. And prayer is not like the wishes that one would share with a genie. Prayer is not an order from a menu and 15 minutes later the dinner of our choosing comes. Instead, prayer is persistence. Prayer is a way of sharing again and again our joys, our griefs, our burdens with God, who hears them, who receives them. And prayer is listening persistently in the stillness of your soul for that affirmation and the words of hope and encouragement that you need, the word of love that you need from your God. Of course, there's always going to be the question of unanswered prayers. We pray to God for the desires of our hearts, and sometimes we experience something other. There are many things in this world that are struggles that cause us to cry out, and certainly there are judges that turn their ears away and cease to hear or grant justice. But God does not turn away. And God quite unjustly gives us more grace than we could ever deserve. So Jesus invites to pray persistently, like this widow, and to not lose heart. On the good days, and on the days when we wrestle and we struggle like Jacob, the invitation is to pray and to never give up. But the invitation is also to trust that God is responding, although we may not see that response. The justice God grants is not always the answer for which we are hoping or expecting, but it comes and will come. God throughout the ages has continually shared a specific concern and acted on behalf of the widow and the orphan and the weak and the less than and the sick and the stranger, the sinner and the vulnerable, the lost, the poor, the hungry, the weary and the dying. And Jesus invites, pray and don't lose heart. In the cross, Jesus would come to know all that kind of suffering. And in the resurrection, Jesus has overcome all of it and given us a promise of hope, joy, healing, and life forever, even though we wait for justice beyond what we could imagine to come. It was about a month after the earthquake when Renee was back at seminary, and she was asked by one of our professors if she still laughed. A seemingly insignificant, poorly timed question. She had to think about it, but she realized that yes, sometimes she did, in fact, laugh. And as she reflected on that laughter as a promise for resurrected life, she said, if we laugh, in spite of all that comes, she said, then there is something more, something worth waiting for. There is something more. And we hold on together until that day breaks. Thanks be to God, because we know there is an end to the struggle, there is an end to the fight, and that God does not let us go until the blessing. Thanks be to God. Amen.